Right, I want you to turn tonight in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 144. 144th Psalm, beginning in verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from thy hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palliage. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our street. That our oxen may appear strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Father, tonight we thank you for the opportunity that we have to look into your word. We thank you for preserving it for us down through these centuries. We ask you, dear Lord, tonight as we look into it and as you speak to our hearts tonight, the Spirit of God might have free reign in this service this evening. And that all the things that we look at this evening, Lord, will lift up and magnify and glorify thy Son Jesus, to whom we are indebted to all things tonight. And we ask you, dear Lord, now that you might forgive us of our sins, our transgressions, you might tonight, dear Lord, allow us tonight to be thy spokesman, to infill us with thy Holy Spirit, to give us the unction tonight that we might bless this thy people. And for all that's done and all that's said, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I'm sure that many of you are aware of a television show called Duck Dynasty. It's about a group of individuals down in Monroe, Louisiana, who have a duck calling company. And the founder of the company, of course, was a man by the name of Phil Robertson. And he's an ordained Baptist preacher. His son pastors one of the largest churches in the state of Louisiana. And one of the things that I do admire about them, they always end the show with a prayer, and sometimes even before that. And one of the things that I did learn was that they ask him not to pray, and if he prayed, not to pray in the name of Jesus. And he said that if he had to do that, he just wouldn't have the show. He'd quit. So that's a pretty good testimony. But I always think about what he always said, and his favorite saying is, happy, happy, happy. And, you know, tonight, that's what the psalmist is talking about here in our psalm tonight. And I heard about a atheist that was out on the street, and he was preaching tonight a message of atheism. He was deriding the Bible and preachers and churches and telling people that going to church and listening to preachers was nothing but stupidity, and how that all that preachers wanted and all that churches wanted was their money. And he was going on and on and on, and finally a little lady stepped up and said, "Got one question for you, man." And he said, "Yes, ma'am, what is it?" And she said, "Are you happy?" And he began to expound again about the blind leading the blind and so forth. And she said, "You didn't answer my question. Are you happy? You're telling us to throw away all of our Bibles, quit attending church, do away with all the things that we've believed in all of our life. Will it make us happy?" And he bowed his head and walked away. We know this evening we sometimes need to think about that. Ira Stamphill wrote a song many years ago called Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is a new creation, Jesus and me in a close relation. Having a part in His salvation, happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine, no matter if the teardrops start. I found the secret, it's Jesus in my heart. Happiness is to be forgiven, living a life that's worth living, taking a trip that leads to heaven. Happiness is the Lord. We live in a world of people tonight who are in pursuit of happiness tonight. That's, I think, maybe the goal of most people that I come across in life, is they're in a pursuit, they're chasing after and running after happiness in their life. Now, happiness is an emotion to the secular world this evening. And if you think about it tonight, happiness and the emotion of happiness tonight forms the basics of all advertising. If you are to be an advertising guru, an advertising agent tonight, an advertising man, then you realize that the one thing that you want to impress upon people and that you want to derive from people is the emotion of making them happy. You know, if you eat a certain food, it will make you happy. If you tonight drink a certain drink, it will make you happy. If you drive a certain kind of automobile, it'll make you happy. If you possess a certain possession, you'll be happy. Those are the rules of advertising. They always want to present a happy, smiling group of people, and they're always appealing to that emotion tonight of happiness in your life to say to you, if you do this, if you buy that, then you will be happy. Yet we find tonight that happiness is elusive and evasive. People are never satisfied. You look at children and you look at adults. You can take two children out here playing and we can watch them very quickly, and you can put one toy down and one child will get the toy and the other child wants it. And even if you have a dozen other toys on the floor, the other child wants the one that that child has. And so you can take the toy away from that child and give it to the other one and you'd think they'd be happy. No, because the minute one of them picks up another one, that's what they want. They're never happy. It always eludes them, doesn't it, this evening? Now, that's just the nature of children tonight, that they always think they're going to be happy with what somebody else has. But, you know, you go over into the adult world tonight, and we find that that's taking place, and that tonight's what happens many times, and even with adults tonight. Somebody wants somebody else's toy. They want somebody else's car. They want somebody else's spouse this evening. They're always looking and striving for that little elusive thing that we call happiness. Desi and I were, on vacation last week, and we went up into the Ozark Mountains, and you drive through there, and there are continually advertisements tonight warning and enticing you to stop and to buy things, to see things, to do things to make you happy. I think the people you make happy is the people you pay the money to, but, you know, what are they doing? They're striving. They're saying, you deserve to be happy. You deserve some happiness in your life. This, if you'll do this, it'll make you happy. People are told, hey, you lose weight, you'll be happy. You gain weight, you'll be happy. You know, whatever tonight, you'll be happy. But it always eludes people. But what can we do tonight? I think tonight happiness is something that we all need. You know, a lot of people tonight think Christians ought to go around with a sour face all the time. They ought to smile. They ought to never have fun. Someone wrote about the old Puritans that their main theology was that somebody will be happy somewhere. You know, we should be a happy people tonight. And the psalmist gives the answer in the last verse of our text this evening. He said in the last part of verse 15, "Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Happy is that people. And we could really say, happy is that person whose God is the Lord. Someone said that if God took the Holy Spirit from many churches, that 95% would carry on as usual, and no one would know the difference. That they would continue to meet, continue to sing, continue to teach, and continue to preach, and that there would be no difference whatsoever if God removed the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about that percentage tonight, but I'm getting along with Dr. Ed Maccabee and Shelton Jones. Many years ago, I heard them talking, and Sheldon asked Dr. Jones, he said, "Do you suppose that if the Lord took the Holy Spirit, it would affect the Sunday morning golf course?" And Sheldon Jones said, "I doubt it'd affect the Sunday morning worship service in most Baptist churches." Why is that tonight? Because God has become so remote to us. He's not really essential to our lives. It's not really essential to our church services tonight. We continually, it looks like in our churches tonight, are centering around man-made programs and man-driven religious themes this evening. You can order sermons. You can order PowerPoint presentations. And I've nothing against tonight PowerPoint presentations. I've nothing against aids tonight that allow God's Word to become real to us this evening. I think sometimes it's a very important and a very needed thing to make that this evening, because God's Word tonight needs to become real to us. But more importantly than that, God needs to become real to us this evening. God needs to become essential to us tonight. The songwriter wrote, "My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul." Our God needs to be real. And I'm afraid sometimes that God tonight has become so remote to us and so distant to us that we forgot what really God is all about. But as we read in our Psalms and as we read through all the other Psalms tonight, we can find tonight that to the psalmist, that God is everything. God tonight is everything. He tonight... is the center of life. He's what their life centered around. What do we center our life around tonight? You think about that very quickly. What do you center your life around? Sometimes we center it around our children. Sometimes we center it around the television. Sometimes we center it around some other activity, our work, our jobs. And that becomes the center of our life. That's what everything revolves around. But to the psalmist tonight, God was the center of his life. And everything else revolved around God. And God was at the center of that this evening. His will and his glory and his power. And everything revolving around the Lord tonight. And because of that, they were dependent upon God. The psalmist here, he starts out, "Blessed be the Lord my strength." You see, he realized that his strength to live from day to day came from God. Where do you draw your strength from? Where do we get our strength to live day by day? Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." The strength to live every day of our life must be drawn from God. The Lord, my strength, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, And he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Here we find that David is saying that everything I have and everything that I do is due to God. Do you realize that this evening? The breath that you draw is due to God. Right. Everything is centered around him. And then he asks, he says something in verse 3, and very interesting. He said, Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Have you ever thought about tonight? Sometimes we think about how important we are. We're the most important person in our universe. But of all the people in all the world tonight, God takes knowledge of us. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? That he answers my prayer. That he even hears my prayer. That he's willing to take my prayer. That's a good thing tonight, isn't it? Man is like to vanity. His days are a shadow that passeth away. We don't last very long. We go away very quickly. But you see, the Lord tonight, when he becomes the center of our life, that's where it all's about tonight. C.H. Spurgeon said, some Christians have enough religion to make them miserable, but not enough to make them happy. But the psalmist said, happy, happy, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. You see, the Lord tonight is the source of all real happiness. Now think about that. The Lord tonight is the source of all real happiness. Andrew Bonar was a missionary and evangelist back in the 1800s and early 1900s, and he preached to many places across the country. And a lady came to him one time and said, Brother Bonar, she said, I just don't think I have enough joy in my life. And his answer was very simple. He said, you don't need more joy, you need more Christ. You need more God. The more God you have, the more joy you'll have. The more God you have, the more happiness you'll have. Now, I understand tonight that we can't piecemeal God. Don't misunderstand that. What he was saying tonight is when you're willing to surrender, you're willing tonight to let God become the center of all your life. You're willing to get rid of all the other idols tonight that have invaded our lives in this time. And we live in an age of an idolatry. Don't ever think we don't. We're living in a time when there are many gods tonight that are worshipped even by American people. Some are parked in driveways and some have the driveways. Some tonight are other things and other forms of entertainment, recreation, and so many other things tonight that we could stand here and talk about tonight, greed and avarice and many things tonight that are the idols of modern society. But we're living in a time of idol worship. But if you want to be happy tonight, you have to get rid of all the idols out of your heart and let God be your Lord tonight. And let the Lord be your God this evening. Charles Spurgeon said on occasion that when I look at Jesus, the dove and peace, of peace and joy and happiness comes into my life. He said, when I begin to look at the dove, it flies away. Why? Because Jesus tonight is the source of happiness, not the dove, not the other things and not the other blessings, but simply tonight, Jesus is our happiness tonight. Amen. The question becomes then, is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your Lord? You see, you can understand tonight that no matter what happens, and you make Jesus your Lord, the world's going to remain the same. We're still going to be filled tonight with a lot of things in a world filled with a lot of darkness tonight, but you can still be happy when Jesus is your Lord. Amen. You see, Jesus tonight is the one that washed away our sins. The songwriter said, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sin away. Have you ever thought about that day, about that time, and sometimes just get alone in the darkness or even in the sunshine? Just sit alone somewhere and think about that time, that very moment when Jesus Christ washed your sin away. He removed all the guilt. He took away all the burden. He made you a child of His. Now you're saved and set free. And He washed your sins away. You remember how happy you were at that point in your life? You were thrilled. I mean, you could probably step over a couple of these benches. You could have walked on air. You had a bounce in your step. You had joy in your heart. And you were a happy individual because Jesus had washed your sins away. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sin away. Do you remember that time?
Amen.
How thrilled you were. Nothing else mattered. You didn't care if you drove an old automobile, lived in a ramshackle house. You wouldn't have cared if you had cable television. You wouldn't have cared about anything. You would have eaten beans and bread because Jesus had just made you so happy because He had washed your sins away. You see, Jesus was your Lord. He'd become the center of your life. He became everything that you needed at that point in time. You see, when Jesus becomes your Savior, and He washes away your sins, and He gives you that glorious happiness tonight of that time. It shouldn't be something that fleeting. We should tonight allow Jesus then to be the center of our life from then on. You see, He shepherds us through the valleys. He shepherds us through the mountains. He stays with us through the thick and the thin. He's with us in the darkness and in the light. He's with us walking in the highways and the byways. He's with us in the sorrows and the griefs.
Amen.
He's with us tonight in the highs and the lows. He's always there with us tonight, and He never leaves us nor forsakes us. That ought to make us happy tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Think about that. I probably told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again because I always think about this when I begin to think about that. And when I was a young boy, lived over here out of Hatley, and my granddaddy lived. We lived in this old house, and down below it, they said there was a hollow that was haunted, and people had heard chains rattling. Gosh, I can't remember all the things they said about it, but, you know, scare a little old boy to death. And my grandma was kind of highly excitable, and we'd be going somewhere, and you know, women would get together and quilt and do all that kind of stuff back then. She'd make me go with her. And we'd have to walk back through that hollow after dark. And she'd tell my granddaddy, she'd say, "Now, Bertie, you meet us on the other side of that hollow and walk us through it." And we'd be coming back, and I'd think, "I hope Big Daddy's there." And the closer we'd get, my heart would be boom, 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 boom. We got to go. I'm going to be tackled and put up and chained. I don't tell them what's going to happen to me. And we'd come down that little old hill, and all at once, he'd get up from sitting over there by a tree, pick up the old lantern and turn the thing up, and he'd walk us through the holler. I sure was happy to see him. Amen. Well, you know, the thing about it tonight, we go through a lot of those haunted hollers in life, but Jesus is always there tonight.
Amen.
I'm happy to see Him. I'm glad He never leaves us nor forsakes us. My big daddy was a good man, and he never left us nor forsook us. But, you know, he could have because something could have happened to him. But I'm going to tell you, nothing will ever happen to Jesus tonight. He'll always be there. He'll shepherd us. He'll sustain us tonight and succor us. And everything that we need tonight is all wrapped up in Him. He'll even give us songs in the night. You know, sometimes we go through those night seasons, those night times, and we go through those dark hours of the soul. Sometimes I get like Elijah and I get down under the juniper tree, but you know, God always in that still small voice will speak to us and give us a song in the night. I want to be happy tonight. You got to realize tonight that the only source of real happy tonight is the Lord.
Amen.
Blessed and happy is the people whose God is the Lord. He's our only eternal hope tonight is the Lord. People used to say, don't worry, be happy. I'm going to say, how in the world can you not worry and how can you be happy? Look at the world in which we live. Look at everything that's going on around us. Well, you know, I begin to realize that what I heard a man say many years ago, that to the Christian, bad news is good news. And when we see all these things begin to happen, Jesus said, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. I'm looking for Jesus to return tonight. He may not return in my lifetime. I don't know. But I'm still looking for him. And as the days get darker, as times get harder, realize this one thing, the wait is shorter. Think about that tonight. I mean, it's growing darker every day as far as our world tonight. And it's getting harder. And as Paul said, evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. And we're living in a time, and to be fair with you, I've been looking at some things about prophecy and reading about some things. And I think tonight that when I get through, we're going to look at it tonight because I think we're seeing the rise of some things that are taking place in our world tonight that leads me to believe the Antichrist is right around the corner. But thank God the Christ is there before him.
Right.
Our nation is in dire need tonight. People tonight are abandoning God and his word more and more every day. But yet tonight when I realize that, and because I am burdened because many people will miss heaven, yet I'm also happy tonight because I know the wait is shorter and shorter and Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
The only eternal hope we have tonight is not going to be found in presidential politics. It's not going to be found in any kind of politician's promises. It's not going to be found in voting right at the voting booth. Not going to be found in legislative laws. The only eternal hope we have tonight is the blessed hope of the Son of God.
Amen.
You want to be happy tonight, you've got to put your hope in him. You've got to set your sights on knowing Jesus is coming. And when the Lord comes tonight, thank God, it'll all be settled and over.
Amen.
Tonight, as the old lady asked the atheist, are you happy? Well, if you're not, you can be if you let the Lord become the center of your life, the center of your universe. Let things begin to revolve around him. And then you can say, happy. Happy is the person whose God is the Lord tonight.
Amen.
All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Boothby and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message, you for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his wonderful holy name we pray. Amen and amen.